I'd like now to look at the life of Antony strictly from the perspective of Athanasius, his biographer's, use of the word asceticism or ascetic and its various cognates, the various noun and verb forms of this word, bearing in mind all the while the fact, as we've learned, that this word primarily means exercise or training. It does not have the negative connotations which we often associate with it today. And there are three principal places in the life of Antony in this first section that I'd like to look at. The first is the introduction. The second concerns chapters 3 and 4. And the last concerns chapter 7. In the introduction, of course, Athanasius will describe Antony as a pattern for training, for ascetical virtue. In chapters 3 and 4, we will discover that the nature of this training, which Antony undertakes, is something he learns, we would say today, in the parish. He learns from example. It's not primarily learned in solitude at first. His first form of training in the spiritual life, his first form of exercise, commitment to growth in the spirit, as we'll see, is in relationship with and by observation of others and their virtues. And then finally, we'll discover that as his training, his ascetical practice, begins to intensify, and he undertakes things that are specifically oriented towards what he would see as being excesses in his life, it is to arise out of a sense of prothumia, of, we might even say, zeal or excitement, a real commitment to the project that is not negative, that is not based on just on a sense of avoiding that which is evil, but a genuine zest or zeal or enthusiasm for the project. So let's start first with the first collection of sayings about the word ascetic or asceticism, which occur in the prologue. You'll notice that Athanasius says right at the very beginning that your determination to equal or surpass them, that is to say the monks of Egypt, in your asceticism, in your askese, is something that he wants to commend. He wants this biography to be, for others, an opportunity to learn about training, about exercise in the virtues that allow one to draw near to God. And as we discover, and he uses the term again in the second paragraph, we discover that Antony is a fitting pattern of ascesis, of exercise, of spiritual training. The whole goal of this biography, according to Athanasius, is to provide Antony as a model, and not just for monks and nuns, but for eager, zealous Christians who want to live a life of spiritual exercise and training, seeking after virtue and drawing towards union with God. For them, Antony, he says, is a fitting pattern or model, a character, someone according to whom one may model one's life. So, what then does this life consist in? We've already had an introduction to Antony's life, and so you know that he receives his call by listening to the words of Scripture as they are preached in the context of his local parish church. He hears the text, "If you would be perfect and sell everything, then give it to the poor, come follow me, and you shall have treasure in heaven." He decides to act on these, and then again acts even further by giving away everything he has and committing his sister to the care of a community of virgins. And then I've labeled down in chapter 3 private asceticism, which occurs in a place near his home, and then an apprenticeship in asceticism. He apprentices himself to an old man, to a geron, to someone who already is effectively a monk, someone who is living monastic life. Antony is not the first monk, as he's sometimes credited as having been. Antony is instead the one who carries monastic virtue, as we'll say, into solitude, into the desert, into the place which is desolate, devoid of hope, and even given over to Satan. He carries spiritual exercise and practice joyfully even into that place. But for now, in this section, apprenticeship in asceticism, the real key, in many ways, is what you find beginning in chapter 4. His private asceticism, as we'll see, which again is described in precisely those words, as you can see in the text, takes the form of looking at the people around him. In chapter 4, I've listed in 1 through 12 the particular characteristics that he wants to imitate. And this is his discipline. This is his askesis. He is engaging in an asceticism which consists of, it says, observation of graciousness, intense prayer, freedom from anger, love of humankind, and so forth. This is his asceticism, to observe and to practice. Askesis means here, very clearly, the observation of virtue in your local community and your incorporation of it into your own spiritual practice. This is practice, this is discipline, this is Antony's askesis. And that's the principal sense of this word as it's used multiple times in these clusters around chapters 4 and even into chapter 5. But let's now drop down to the last cluster of use of this word, which is to be found beginning in chapter 7. So if you drop down on this text to chapter 7, you will discover there that this follows a section that I've not included, which has to do with Antony's conquering his own lustfulness, discovering God present even in his strong desires. And the goal of this, or the purpose of this, is that he has learned, as we drop down in chapter 7 in the second paragraph, that Antony has learned from the scriptures the devices of the devil, that they are many, and he then zealously, eagerly continues his asceticism, his training, his ascetical practice. Now, specifically, and this is fascinating, in the next paragraph down, under the gray portion that I've labeled the specifics of Antony's asceticism, one now discovers Antony's desire to deepen in an awareness of his own places in which he's most likely to be tempted. He's just dealt with lust and discovered through the grace of God that he has the power to conquer that. Now he begins to look at what he needs to do in order to be strict with himself, not for the purpose of being strict or negative, but in order to continue to deepen this training, this ascetical practice. And in particular, under that gray passage, the specific of Antony's asceticism, it says, the eagerness of soul that abided within him for such a long time had stimulated a good habitual state. The word that's used here for eagerness of soul is prothumia. And prothumia is a term that can mean zeal, eagerness, a kind of a joyous willingness to undertake even that which is difficult. And that becomes the spirit, the background characteristic of Antony's asceticism. The term is repeated. It's used again, very specifically, a little bit later on. If we drop down a bit to the paragraph that begins with number 6, he would not anoint himself with oil, saying that young men ought to take asceticism. Well, here it's been translated as take asceticism seriously, but here again the word prothumia is used, and perhaps it would be better to translate that as ought to engage in spiritual practice with eagerness, with zeal. And so his limiting himself is not for the purpose of simply saying no or simply doing things that are negative. It's out of a spirit of eagerness. It's a desire to maintain and to deepen that eagerness. Perhaps runners could share with us a sense of what can happen when you push yourself even beyond the point where it feels comfortable or possible, and you discover something that can only be described as a joy that touches the whole of your body in discovering what you really can do. That's what Antony's doing. He's not engaging in anything that could be described as masochistic. Instead, he's engaging in limitations for the sake of maintaining and deepening this prothumia, this joy. And one other term to be aware of, and I've highlighted it a little further down, in the italicized passage that begins, forgetting the things that are behind and straining forward, Here in the context of mentioning the prophet Elijah and holding him up as an example, the word strain forward from Philippians is used. This is a Pauline passage that literally applies to the runner, someone who is running ahead, straining to reach the tape, the joy, the delight that comes in union with God. And it is a term which Gregory of Nyssa will use in a technical sense. Epectasis, he says, is that straining forward towards God, that deepening in desire that means that our desire for God will never end. It will only grow deeper and stronger even in eternity. So, in some ways, one can see an anticipation of this very beautiful mystical doctrine in Athanasius' conviction that Antony's asceticism, his practice, is rooted in prothumia, in a zealous delight that seeks to reach beyond the ordinary boundaries of experience.